Hi everyone, I'm Jess.
I'm Charlotte.
And I'm Char.
And this is Irresistible, a podcast brought to you by Drexel University's Music Industry Program. We are so excited for today's third episode, and we can't wait to talk about current issues in the music business and topics as members of Gen Z and future forces in the industry.
This week's episode, we're going to be talking about stan culture, and we believe we have a unique perspective. Because we were super fans once back in the day, and now as women in the music industry, we think it is going to be interesting to talk about stan culture this week. So before we get into anything too juicy and crazy, can we just tell the people what is stan culture?
So stan culture. Well, the term stan originates from an Eminem song called Stan from 2000, where he's kind of depicting the, story of a super fan who gets increasingly more threatening and violent when Eminem doesn't respond to his letter in the mail. So this whole idea of a fan kind of like crossing boundaries and crossing a line, obviously the song does this in a very dramatized fashion, but this is where the term stan came from. And stan culture is basically the new culture that we have of fans of certain artists or celebrities, kind of having like a really close-knit fan artist relationship. And in some cases, this could come across as like a bit problematic depending on the circumstances, who it is, what the topic is about, the artist or celebrity. So yeah, that's what stan culture is. So
So let's see, what do you think makes it different from a fan? Like personally, I there's like a really like fine line that's really blurred in my opinion
that a
between
pun?
I think for me personally, I would have to say, like, everyone obviously, like, even if you're a normal fan, you obviously have this kind of connection to this artist. But I think from my experience, from like my early teen years, especially with like One Direction, right? I feel like you have a certain emotional connection to, you feel like you really have a one-on-one personal connection with them. And nowadays, like, I think due to social media and everything, because of that's kind of been the driving force for artists to have, like, to seem like they have, you can have such a personal relationship with the fan, with the fandom, or like the stan fandom. Yeah.
And like I also think the fandom itself, because of social media, like they almost like feed off each other, and like people have made long-lasting friends through fandoms, and I don't even know, like it's like crazy because like they can make like their own universe almost, and where it's like they all have like a shared interest in something, and next thing you know, they're like best friends. It's like they're all like they have a power in itself without even the artist really having to do anything.
That's so true.
Exactly. It's almost like it's a community that's formed, and half the time the artist isn't even involved in that community, which I think is fascinating because you're right, Char, social media has kind of been this catalyst for people to connect with each other all over the world, which I think is a beautiful thing. To a certain extent. It's just when, I guess we could talk about, let's just we're all One Direction stans here, or have been, right? Do
I
we
don't
want
know
to
if
say
I'm ever
that?
out of my One Direction phase. Don't know if I would call myself a stan anymore, but definitely a big fan.
Yes, I guess this is where I could try to talk about the term stan versus fan, right? Because I think this is a really important disclosure to make, because when you're there are certain connotations with a stan, and I'm not saying that every stan is like this, but it's sometimes the idea of, first name basis, but also like overstepping lines when it comes to privacy, requesting information that is none of your business, things like that. And I think it's really important that you could to understand that you could still be that great of a fan, but also just do it in like in a respectful manner. So, supporting the artist's music and like still having that emotional connection, which is a beautiful thing because of social media, but just doing so in a fashion that is healthy for yourself and also healthy for the artist. Because at the end of the day, the artist is a human and a product, but it's a human first.
Yes, and I want to add on to that. I think like a trend that we can all see with stan culture is that it's usually around the same age group and mainly with young girls, right? No matter what generation we look at, it's always been a different artist. Like my grandma, she always talks about how Elvis, she loved Elvis. Like she would die for Elvis, right? And that was like her generation. And like we see the Beatles and we obviously kind of had One Direction. So I think like there's a clear trend in between like age group, demographic. And like, do you think it's almost like a formulated thing? Well, I think it actually is. Like these labels look for this new like hit boy band or like even just singular artist, whoever it is, for like new, for this like new generation of young girls to like fall over and completely like.
I totally think like the whole nickname of like Beatlemania and like One Direction infection for our age group.
No vaccine for that.
I haven't heard that in so long. Oh
like
my.
All those things, it's like Bieber fever, whatever it is. Like, oh my God. It's not. I feel like it shouldn't be taken lightly. Like people really go like insane for things. Like I never see more people cry than at a One Direction concert. Maybe a funeral, but that'd be the only thing. That people say, you know what I mean? Like I don't even. I feel like because that receives so well with such a large demographic and goes viral so quickly, and you know, who wouldn't fall for five British boys, you know what I mean? Like I think labels and whoever are just gonna try to find the next big boy band. Ew, do you guys know where that's from? What was his name? Louis said it, not Louis Tomlinson, but Louis the Judge said it on X Factor.
Oh,
the next big boy band. Do you remember that? It was in the movie. God.
I was gonna bring it up too, because it's like even just talk about One Direction, it's like when they all auditioned and they were like put together, right? Like nobody really like knew, I feel like, that they could it was like they were like, all right, well, this is a shot in the dark, like they could become big, but like who knows, maybe they'll just like whatever and we'll find a new like phenomenon, like boy band eventually. But like it's just kind of crazy. And how like we could even talk about like K-pop, right? I think K-pop is a little bit different in the sense that they are literally trained to be like from like whatever certain age for years, they are like born and bred to be these stars, right? And I feel like for some, like I guess for more like Western like bands, right, they were still kind of like, it was kind of thrust upon them in a way. They weren't like, you know, born and bred to be these stars, but they still both kind of share that quality of having like these stan fan bases.
I mean, Simon Cowell saw those dollar signs and like I could only hate him to a certain extent because I think we all would have if we were in a situation. I think
can only respect his hustle. Saw the bag and chased it, however,
and like even like you
feel that beef.
You could even look at One Direction, right? They're kind of an unconventional boy band because like if you look at like Backstreet Boys or like some of them, they were like dancers and more like entertainers, and One Direction couldn't even dance or like
they cannot dance,
like except for Niall was the only, I mean Niall would like play guitar a lot, but the rest of them weren't known to be musicians. They were just five singers and they couldn't dance. So like it's just kind of interesting how like
they were definitely the non-traditional route of a boy band, I feel like. I mean, yeah, they're all just like, you know, cute singers and like.
And you know what I think? I think it's because of social media. They really played up like each of them having different personalities, and you were like drawn to a certain one, like whether you're a Liam girl or like a Niall girl or whatever. Like they really played that up because maybe they didn't have like the super entertainer factor going on. Yeah. Like as we've seen in like old boy bands, I feel like maybe they like were more private, but like for One Direction, it was like you wanted to know everything about them. You like we're drawn to one specific one. They really played up their personalities and their personas a lot, so I feel like just all of that together made it.
They're all definitely super charming. Maybe it's because, you know, they're from the UK and I feel like they're just charming people, but like I feel like I totally agree, like they totally played up on their personalities. And like, you know, there's the Zayn who was the bad boy, and then Harry was like, I don't want to say it, but people kept calling him a womanizer. And then there's like cute little Liam or whatever. And then there was the Irish one. But like, you know what I mean? Like they played on these personas so much. So it was just like, oh, I'm a Harry girl. Like I do this. And like, I'm a Niall girl and I play guitar and I drink a lot of beer or something. You know what I mean? Like people could have related, so found anything to try to relate to these people. Yeah. And I feel like because of that, they were able to grow and grow so much in like our time, you know.
Exactly. And I think what's really interesting about One Direction is that it was a genuine risk for Simon Cowell to like make the executive decision for them to stay together afterwards. Because at that point in what, 2010 or so, at the end of 2010, there was no like information or data available really about the way that social media would end up affecting, you know, the career of a musician. So it was a decision that was kind of made on the basis that this has not happened before, which is in a way a competitive advantage. And when you have, you know, Simon Cowell funding it, and then you have the media training and resources provided by, you know, Syco or Columbia, whoever they were assigned to, it's really cool to see the way that social media has kind of like shot them into the, you know, into the limelight, but then also maintained that success through their, are we calling it a hiatus?
I'm calling it a hiatus.
Okay. I mean, they're going to, I mean, like, strictly from a business perspective.
Oh, 100%. No, exactly what you're going to say.
They are losing money if they do not come back.
Once they have to in some capacity. I'm not even saying Zayn. I don't even know if Zayn would, but take Zayn out of the equation.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least the four of them will eventually do something.
100%.
Like, it could
once
even
that bag starts going down,
yeah,
they're gonna pull a Jonas Brothers 2.0.
Yeah, I mean, they all have to like exhaust their current contracts, and I'm pretty sure they're probably all in 3-year contracts and they'll have to recoup and such. But like, once they're all out of them and they've like made their 3 albums, however long that might take, unless they end up pursuing, you know, 2 separate deals at the same time where they're still, you know, I don't know, 2 albums out of 3 in. Or, you know, 1 out of 3 in if we're talking about Louis or something like that, but then simultaneously re-sign a new contract, permitting One Direction to come back again for X amount of times or X amount of albums. I know that's like a thing that some artists do. There are lots of bands and artists out there who are, you know, either in multiple groups or multiple different projects, and they just have many things going on at once. So it's really, it'll be really interesting to see how that comes back, I think.
Yeah, I feel like the same way. I think it wouldn't be for a while. Like, they would definitely have to exhaust like what they're doing now, and I'm sure like they all have, especially Harry, I feel like, you know, with the Grammys and everything that just happened, I feel like he has a whole new door open for him, so it would definitely be a while. But I definitely see it happening for sure. Maybe not Zayn, but
I also think like, let's keep in mind, like, from the OGs, 3 of them are dads. And like, of young, I think Freddie, Louis' kid's the oldest, and he's like, what, like 4 or 5 or something like that. And so I feel like they're going to need time to like, you know, raise their children and then maybe get back to being like the world's biggest boy band, you know, coming from like a human point of view, not just like the business aspect. But yeah, like Jess was saying, like Harry himself is like getting into acting, like his Don't Worry Darling is coming out, I think, within the next year or something like that. So mm-hmm. I feel like there's just so many doors that are open for all of them right now.
Definitely.
So I don't know if they'll be doing it anytime soon.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important to like celebrate the independence that people that were in bands, I guess we could just continue to use One Direction as our case study for this.
Yeah.
I think it's really important to celebrate the independence though, because very little was in your control when you're in a huge band like that. Because in order to maintain that success, you need to have everything correct. And rarely those boys knew what it was that had to be done in order to maintain that, which is okay because, you know, they didn't know this was gonna happen. And in an alternate universe, if, you know, they weren't put together, they would go on to pursue their individual careers for however long that might take and reach whatever level of success they may. But they needed that help, and they kind of were able to use One Direction as a time to kind of like learn the ropes and stuff. But then now that they're in their independent careers, they're able to kind of use what they learned and then be who they want to be. And I think we see that in many capacities, not just Sonic. So yeah, I think that's really good. So for everyone saying, come back, come back, come back, come back, they will, okay. Business-wise, well, they're going to just
in
chill.
An interview, Niall literally said, because they were, I, you know, the boys always get asked, are you coming back as One Direction? What's happening with One Direction, you know?
Yeah.
So they get this question a lot, but I remember Niall, I think it was like a radio interview or something, but he said, they'd be idiots to not, you know, go back as One Direction, because they're, no matter how big or how successful or how many Grammys whoever gets, you know, like, they'll never be as big as they were as in One Direction, which, you know, I feel like they could spin it in a way that could be more positive than just sounding like your careers are shit without each other, but because they're not, you know, but I feel like they could take what they're learning now as independent people and find a way to make it more themselves as One Direction, instead of trying to be this like image that, you know, labels want them to be as like this, you know, cute little boy band. I feel like now that they have their own styles, they could bring it together and, you know, show their uniqueness even as a band. So
yeah, exactly. And I definitely think that, you know, our like generation or age group of girls will be there in 20 years to go to their concerts. Cause it's the, we'd even like segue into this, but before I do, it's like the whole like nostalgia factor. Mm-hmm. Like we see that with so many bands, like bringing back, and it just gives you so much nostalgia and everything like that, which is so interesting. But I do think, like, another point to bring it back on what Charlotte was saying, I do think that like our like especially One Direction's like fan base like definitely helped them along with their individual careers, because I feel like One Direction's fan base was so loyal, a lot of us were loyal, mm-hmm. and so that definitely 100% aided them in like creating their own careers, like I like remember when Zayn's album came out, and like obviously like the majority of like One Direction fans were gonna go listen to Zayn's album, because that's just, you know, the loyalty of the fan base. But do you guys have any opinions on like that nostalgia factor? Like,
oh, I 100% do, because I went, this is not One Direction related, but I went to a Jonas Brothers concert when I was 7, I think, and that was my first ever like American concert, because I went to like Filipino concerts all the time, but Jonas Brothers was like the first one, like, I'm going to this, and this is my concert that I want to see, not just one my parents are dragging me to. And I was obsessed at the time, obviously, who wasn't? They were like the boy band at the time, and I had this huge long poster that my sister's friend made me for my birthday, and it was just like collage pictures of like magazine clippings of the Jonas Brothers, and like the compatibility from J14 with the Jonas Brothers, and like pictures of me as a 7-year old. As a 7-year old, like, that is not okay. And I remember crying so hard, because my sister was, she like tore her ACL at the time, and she still wanted to go. So we got like handicap seating. So it was like third row, when we were supposed to be like the first section after the floor. So I was like couldn't stop crying, bawling my eyes out. And then as an adult, at the age of 20, went to their tour again after they went on their break. I go, I haven't cried at a concert and since I was a kid. Like, I'm not gonna do this. Didn't cry when they came out. Didn't cry when I was looking at Jay-Z right in front of me, you know, but
Jay-Z was in front of you?
He was like, cause like there's the B stage, and like he was right next to the B stage, and I was right in front of the B stage, cause I was like on the floor. Yeah, at MSG. So okay. He was like right there with like Winnie Harlow and like Kevin's family, and everyone was there. It was crazy. Weird experience for me, but it's like, keep it together, Char. You might be working with these people one day. but basically, I was totally fine, vibing. I was with my friends. We're having a good time. And then they were on the B stage where it rose up, right? And they were just them and their guitar. Kevin was, you know, playing his guitar. And it was a Camp Rock song. And they were singing, what is it? This Is Me, that one, that's right? And there was a point where they just stopped singing, and it was just the crowd like deafening almost. I had my earplugs in, but it was like screaming out of the top of their lungs, and I started sobbing.
Okay, you know what this reminds me of?
What?
Like about Camp Rock and Disney, like what just recently happened with Miley Cyrus and the Hannah Montana thing on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Like, did I see that? Like Hannah Montana made a verified Twitter, and then like Miley like wrote the letter to Hannah Montana, and like everybody, like I saw it on TikTok everywhere, and like everybody was just like going crazy over it and was like obsessed with it. And it like just makes me think about how Disney like literally formulates these like fan, like fanatic, like artists that are gonna come out, and like no matter, I don't know, like again, I don't like follow Disney now, so I don't know if like they really produce to the same extent now, but especially during our age group, like I was like watching a YouTube video, and I think the Cheetah Girls was the first musical thing, like the first musical movie that Disney put out. And then right after mm-hmm. that was High School Musical. And then like Camp Rock happened. And like, I feel like the Jonas Brothers were able to like transition with Camp Rock, have their own music. Then they did that show. Like Disney really formulates like these yeah. stars and invests in them.
Yeah.
Like, for the long haul, I feel like.
And it works for them. I don't know, like you said, I don't know what's happening now with kids in Disney and what their careers are looking like, but it's just like crazy how much of an impact they could have even to this day, 10 years later. That's literally why I was crying at the concert, because like this industry that I want to work in, I was having like a existential crisis, but like in a good way. I was like, wow, like this is the industry I want to work in, where like mm-hmm. 10 years later people are still screaming on the top of their lungs as like fucking 24-year-olds drunk out of their mind at a, you know, like a Jonas Brothers concert, you know what yeah. I mean? Like, it was just like, so it just showed me like as a fan like how much power these people have, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's literally crazy. It's just like that Hannah Montana thing reminded me of it. And mm-hmm. like that just happened and people were just like, wow. And it just brings back that nostalgia factor, like totally. Like I miss Hannah Montana. Like I love
I still watch it on Disney Plus.
I would buy Disney Plus like just for Hannah Montana. I would like, I would come home. I have such vivid memories of coming home from school in fifth grade and just like running to my couch, hoping I would make like the 3:30 episode. And just like, it was like I think it was like my comfort show. Cause I was just like,
and yeah, isn't it crazy that we have like distinct memories? Like we form like emotional ties to these artists. Like I was telling you guys before we came on, but like, I have a distinct memory of like Hurricane Sandy. And like in that time, I just went down the hole of One Direction. Like I just, like, I guess I was 13 or whatever in that 12, 13, whatever. I distinctly remember like in that period of time, there was nothing to do. And I just went by full scent, like One Direction. Yeah.
I remember not going to school because I stayed up all night for One Direction Day. And I told my parents I just felt sick and that I couldn't sleep. But I was really watching One Direction Day.
I had an excuse.
Because I forgot about that.
Right? Oh, my God. I had my back surgery, like, right before One Direction Day happened. So I was, like, hopped up on morphine, just, like, vibing in bed. Just, like, what's going on right now? And, it was hilarious. I vividly remember when I got into One Direction as well. It was the summer of 2013. I was at camp with my friends and we were eating lunch. And I remember like all of them had their phones out and they were like counting down to something. They like all had the same like countdown up. I was like, what are you guys doing? They were like, the best song ever music video is coming out soon. And I was like, what?
God, I have a story when that came out too. Like I remember where I was. I was on vacation and I was on a boat on vacation. And the video came out in like 10 minutes and we literally got off the boat and ran to our hotel room to watch the video coming out. Like, yeah,
it's crazy. Also, that video is like low-key, like a little problematic. I feel like watching it back, I was like, this is riddled with stereotypes, but okay.
We have distinct memories. Like it's true.
Okay.
Yeah. I
could tell you right now, every single one of us has a story for this. Mm-hmm. Where were you on March 25th, 2015?
Math class.
Oh my God, that's when Zane left.
Yes, I was on the way to the doctor's to pick up my dad's prescription and he went in and then I got a notification on my phone from Twitter and that they made some statement or whatever. Mm-hmm. My dad comes back sobbing. Like I couldn't, like I had my uniform on at the time. I had to like take my sweater off and like unbutton my polo just cause I was like, I couldn't like breathe. I felt like, I was like, no, I can't do this.
And it's just crazy because it makes me think about how like the fandom will like turn things into things that weren't even anything. Like, do you guys remember how many like not even scandals but just things our fandom would make up in One Direction? Like, do you guys remember Mr. X? Do you guys remember that?
Oh my God. Oh, like, wait, is that people were like some like serial murderer was just, like coming to these concerts or something?
Somebody like made that up. Like what? And everybody
circling back, stan culture could be dangerous because
Oh my God.
You know, you're hearing something about like, I don't even know, but just like, you know, like I remember Louis said one time in Carpool Karaoke, he was like, oh, I tweeted how I didn't have milk for my tea. And then next thing you know, like there's milk in my mailbox because someone got me milk for my tea. Like that's scary. And then like, who knows what else people are doing.
We could literally segue into how stan culture can be harmful to the mm-hmm. artists. Like, right, let's just bring out the big one, like Larry Stylinson.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, let's just
bring it. It was bound to come up. It was bound to come up.
the fandom started that, and it ended up like you know, harming like Louis and Harry a lot. Yeah.
They couldn't even be friends anymore.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, whether or not that is true is nobody's business, because if you're on Twitter telling someone their sexuality, picture that if that was yourself, if you were struggling with your own sexuality and you were grappling with who you are, and then you had millions of people being like, you're gay, actually you're pan, no you're bi, like that is overwhelming and like ridiculous invasion of privacy. And it's important that people, you know, you might, you know, feel this real connection to this artist. At the end of the day, you don't know them. They don't know you, all right? Because half the time, what you're experiencing with them is something that was heavily calculated through their management team about, you know, promoting something or distracting from something else. A publicity stunt, not a publicity stunt. But you need to take what you're given and then respect it. Because that is, at the end of the day, all you could do as a respectful and healthy fan.
That actually brings me to a really interesting point about how, like, One Direction, like, where right now we are the age that they were at their peaks, right?
I think about that all the time. I'm a child. Like, are they okay? I'm a kid. Like, I don't know how they did that.
They were, like, you know, they had to go through like hard times, and I'm sure they went through scandals. Like, I just like specifically don't really like remember like a lot of scandals happening with them, because they were just either distracted or like covered up, or like, you know what I mean? Like, we were just distracted by something else. So I don't like really remember any scandals happening to them.
I just know watching the One Direction movie made me so sad, because I don't know, there was just always that like, I feel bad that they're doing this for us. I know they love it, but then, you know, they would talk about, you know, rehearsals and then going on stage and, you know, doing that for hours and then not even getting a chance to rest, because right after their show, they would have to go record what the next album for the next year. And like, I feel like that's low key also another part of stan culture being so toxic, just because like, as fans, we were feeding on it so much. So then labels and whoever, you know, are going to see that and like, oh, we need to keep pushing shit out or else, you know, you're just going to fall off. And then I guess that in turn, like, is so mentally detrimental to, like, whoever, you know, you're standing for, you know what I mean? So I feel like, it just, like, I feel so bad for them, you know what I mean? Like, we kind of did it to them, even though they were more than willing to at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a great seg into the economics of stan culture and its negative impact. Basically, what we have is a situation where there is an insatiable demand, and the supply could only be so much, and that only either ends up affecting the artist or the fan. So if you're a stan and you want a new picture of someone every day, you want a new song every other week, you want them to come on Twitter every day and reply to 50 fans, that demand is just not feasible for a person, let alone an artist who is busy doing other things to support themselves emotionally and support their career and other people in their lives. And that's a really huge issue, because then you're going to have these, you know, artists that are overworking to, you know, an unhealthy extent to provide for their fans. But then because they are being provided, it makes this like a very dangerous cyclical issue that is just not really solved. And on top of that, we have the just like broken business model of the music industry right now, where artists are only making money from touring. And that's also emotionally taxing. And because streaming is not, you know, a financially viable way for an artist to make money anymore, it's the only way. It's merch and stream, it's merch and touring. That and that combination is so unhealthy, you know?
Yeah, they just like at our level. I'm sorry.
That makes me think about the whole merchandising aspect of like these big stars. Like, I remember, like, and I'm sure you guys too, like One Direction t-shirts, dolls. Like, I remember like the Barbie dolls or whatever, the dolls that came out, the cardboard cutouts, like I'm sure they had like One Direction like paper plates, like for parties, like you could have a One Direction themed birthday party, like just like endless amounts of like ways that labels and whoever could just make money and make bank off of these people. Like, it's actually insane when you think about it. And like, we can even see that now, like JoJo Siwa has like, I don't even know,
like, yeah, how many
like phone become that girl. So like, it's just crazy how like they really capitalize on them in like every aspect, especially the merch aspect. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like our obsession, like it just fed into our obsession even more, because we would buy them. Like, yeah, there was no argument that like this fandom, these like little teenage girls, were gonna buy into this, like, 1000%. Like,
I think something that we should talk about that kind of goes a bit darker than artists just feeling things when we, you know, go crazy, is when they don't feel things and they're desensitized to it, you know what I mean? Like, what happens, there's like people who are literal robots out in the world, who are, you know, artists that just, you don't know what's happening, you know what I mean? And I think like that unhealthy stan culture just made them like turn off, go on autopilot, and just do whatever. So I feel like, you know, having conversations like we are now is just like, as young people who are big fans of people, One Direction, whoever it may be, I feel like we need to like also tell people who are like us, who may not be in the music industry the way we are, just like how toxic things could be, and like try not to, if you love an artist as much as you do, don't make their lives, you know, revolve around, you know, making a product out of themselves, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, and it's so crazy because we were like stans of them at this certain age that we like had no idea that we were even like fueling like this kind of big machine, you know what I mean? But we were literally essentially products of this big machine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we had no idea. And it's like literally every generation, we were literally the products just feeding into this like monster of like, and they were successful at it, and we were, yeah, it's crazy.
We were just pawns in the game, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's crazy. Yeah, I think at the end of the day, if you're a stan, just remember that the person you're stanning is a person before they're a product. And if you love them as much as you say that you do, you would respect the boundaries they need as a person.
Yeah, totally.
Right?
Yeah. But that's not something we need to, you know, teach ourselves. And mm-hmm. I think like with this new age of technology, we'll be able to, you know, maybe we'll get backlash for this podcast. Maybe we won't. Or
hey, low-key hope we do. That'd be kind of fun.
I just think it's an important conversation to have, just because, you know, we're a different demographic than just people who are fans, because not everyone is going to be in a music industry program and, you know, dedicate their lives to, you know, learning the ins and outs of the music industry. And I'm not saying it's people's fault for not knowing certain things about how, you know, artists are treated and like how much an artist makes and how much they depend on touring and merchandise, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I think now that with, you know, social media, we could just, you know, tell them how it is. And I feel like we have the power to do that, not, you know, yeah, just not to be corny, but I feel like it's important, you know, not just for like the music industry, but like for artists and people.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we have this platform, and to be able to use it and kind of like share little tidbits of our education and like what we've learned over the past 3 years and what we're going to learn next year as well. And, you know, beyond that, I think it's really important, because social media, when a lot of people think the same thing, it doesn't matter if they think it's right. It doesn't matter if it's right or not. Mm-hmm. And I think if, you know, whether it be, you know, a statement that a publicist puts out through an artist, you know, Twitter or Instagram or Facebook or whatever, or just like an artist being upset about, you know, something that comes with being an artist, or a manager being upset about something that comes with being a manager. It's really important to have, you know, the objective point of view. So I'm glad we're able to provide that.
Yeah, and I think that like as we go on, I think even like compared to like when we were like 13, like 7 or 8 years ago, whatever it may be, I think like we've seen like social media and like artists just become more transparent about what they're going through, especially really recently, which I think is great. Like I even can think of like right at the top of my head, like Billie Eilish, like her documentary that just came out. I didn't get to watch it, but I know everybody was saying how like she was very transparent in it, and like see her struggles, and it was just very well done in the sense that you can see like what she goes through, especially because she's so young too. Like she's what, 18? So it's
somewhere
just,
on the young side.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know how she does it. It is crazy.
It's just, it's, I'm glad that like artists are now like being able to, because I feel like beforehand it was just kind of like a way, not a way of life for these artists, but like almost just like a known thing to not like share everything like that. Like I feel like that's why like we as young teens didn't know like we didn't see scandals from One Direction. We didn't see, because they were almost squeaky clean, like not really towards the end, but like, you know, in their peak, they were so squeaky clean. But I think now, like, we can see with like Billie Eilish, she's a lot more transparent and like,
And I like how artists are now being transparent during like the peaks of their careers, not just like after the fact. Like when Zayn left One Direction, it wasn't until after he left One Direction that he like spoke up about his like mental health and that he didn't really like being in the band and that he didn't enjoy what he was doing just because of whatever. And I feel like now as time goes on, well, that wasn't even that long ago. I mean, like maybe 5 or 6 years, but like in its span of life, that's not that long ago. And I feel like we made so many, you know, good steps along the way since then, where, you know, like Billie is like in the peak of her career right now, and she's, you know, being transparent. And we have a long way to go about, you know, trying to make music industry a very healthy environment. But I feel like even within the last 5 years, we made steps because of social media.
Yeah. And I think something that's really, my dog was about to bark at me. So. You want to say hi?
Hi, Jane.
I think something that's, I know we naturally take like a pretty pessimistic look at the industry just because there are plenty of things to be pessimistic about, but I think something that's really uplifting and motivating for me personally is that everyone in our program, and I'm sure everyone at NYU and, you know, Bandier and other, you know, great programs out there, we all see the same problems in the current music industry, and we're all actively working towards combating them and making solutions. And that's really, really motivating, I think, for me. And, you know, we all have that ambition. You know what they say here? Ambition can't wait!
We start off this podcast, we always say like, oh, coming from the perspective of, you know, industry heads, but also part of Gen Z. And I feel like that in itself, people are scared of Gen Z. Let's just say it. People are scared of us. And, you know, for whatever reason, I guess we can be scary just because, like, we're just done with all the bullshit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like, over, you know, people killing themselves, you know, literally and, you know, mentally or whatever, over shit that shouldn't, you know, be mentally detrimental to you. And I feel like, I don't know, it's just really exciting to see people like us and people, you know, all around the country, music industry programs wanting the same thing.
Yeah, there's definitely something to be said about like the transparency that I think is going to come about even more as we go on, like in the music industry and so many other industries too, which I think is really exciting. And I'm excited to see like what our generation like puts out, or like the kind of stars or artists that we formulate when we're
you can't just say this, you have to hold ourselves accountable.
Yeah,
even in like 50 years from now, if we don't talk to each other for whatever reason, I'm gonna be like, if I see some shit, Jess and Charlotte, I'm coming for your neck.
they're gonna get
held accountable like so much more because of Gen Z, I feel like, so we better hold ourselves accountable. Like,
oh yeah,
yeah,
it should be. I agree. Well, I think this has been a very productive conversation.
Yes.
Yeah. One of my favorites, even though this is only the third, but I think this is probably my favorite so far.
Me too.
Yeah, well, we are so happy for everybody that listened, and we're so grateful that you guys tuned into our third episode. We are so excited to just continue this and like have this opportunity to talk. It's been amazing. We had such a fun conversation today. So make sure you guys tune into Irresistible and keep posted when our next episode will be. Thanks so much for listening.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Bye. Ah!